the American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time on cardboard on corners in town. There's a cancer called crime in our cities and an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Put an end to the gangs and the drugs and the streets. And the fact that the bad guys most always go free, that is wrong. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, and take all our money and send it abroad.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I am your host, John Stadtmiller. We'll be with you live on this 21st day of April 2005 for the next 2 hours. And, let me finish the rest of my spiel. I'm a creature of habit, at least in the introductory phase of it. The program airs Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m., and that is Central Time. Many ways in which to hear this program, international shortwave frequencies are 12160 for this first hour, and second hour is 7465. And you can listen to us on the web. You can listen to us on satellite. You can listen to us on, a lot of different places. Go to www.rbnlive.com. Free streaming, folks. If you've got high-speed internet, the streaming is free. If you're bandwidth challenged, well, we have those bands available also. Also archives. All that's free. That has hurt our CD sales for programming. But the point of this is, folks, is to get the message out and make it as easy as possible to tune in to the programming. A program note here. I will be bringing my guest today. Desi will not be in studio today. I have Ed Waller and John Ainsworth, some Carolina boys with us today. They've been in studio before. Right here in Round Rock, Texas, and I'm glad to have them on the program today. These are some very, very good people that are digging into the law, understanding what it really is. And unless we understand what it is, we don't know what it is and then how to correct it. So these fine fellows will be with us here in just a couple of minutes. And the other program note I wanted to mention, don't forget, folks, tonight, down at the Doubletree Hotel at 6505 IH North 35 in Austin, Texas. That's right next to 290 also. Jimmy Vaughn, Grammy Award winner, Jimmy Vaughn. The blues harp legend, James Cotton, is with Muddy Waters. John Emery Band, Bruce Jones, another very special guest. Carol Keaton Strayhorn. Yes, folks, she's a politician. She will be there. She's a Texas comptroller. This is a mix of Republicans and Democrats. Chris Bell, a potential candidate for governor for Texas. Terry Keel will be there. Todd Baxter and Brewster McCracken, the city council member from Austin, Texas. And this is about the toll roads, folks. This is about defeating the toll roads. And there's a shift in thinking. We can have fun while we do our work. So be down there tonight. I think the thing kicks off at about 7:30. You can go to gettix.net. That's GETTIX.net. Or you can get them at the center down there at the hotel, the Doubletree Hotel. Or you can call 512-371-9926. And you can purchase the tickets, and they'll be on will call at the booth down there. It's going to be a great time tonight. I'll be down there. I heard Alex is going to be down there introducing folks. There's going to be a slew of people down there, so make it down there tonight. We'll be back in a minute.
I can't believe it.
It truly is amazing.
You have to care enough about yourself to want to do something.
If you're tired of feeling sick or run down, this truly is the answer. I have so much energy now.
It makes you feel good.
And it's all natural.
Everyone in my family takes Cardivite.
Cardivite.
Cardivite. We all use Cardivite.
Ladies and gentlemen, Heart Drop 2000 presents Cardivite. Cardivite is an all-natural supplement which is made up of our own special blend of herbs gathered from many different parts of the world, specially designed to improve your health. Come on and care about yourself just a little more with Cardivite. You can find more information at www.cardovite.us or call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822.
Cardivite is a natural thing. Gives you the edge like you've never seen. It makes you feel good. Cardivite.
At 11:40 p.m. on April the 14th, 1912, while plowing recklessly through an ice field, the HMS Titanic collided with an iceberg. 2 hours later, she was resting on the bottom. Today, you honor a similar ship, the USS America. She, too, is plowing through history, promoting reckless fiscal and monetary policies amid tides of terrorism that threaten our security, and there is a storm a-brewing as if even nature was against us. Like the Titanic, we're on course with a similar destiny. The question is, what are you going to do? Hop aboard our well-provisioned lifeboat with Ready Reserve Foods. Contact Ready Reserve Foods and ask how you can prepare your family with the basic survival needs. Call 1-800-453-2202 for great tasting, dehydrated foods that require no refrigeration and keep preserved for years. Preparedness never made more sense than it does today. Call 1-800-453-2202 and stock your lifeboat.
What would you give to have a product that could help you feel, look, and perform as though you were years younger? A product with all natural herbs, vitamins, and nutrients, ingredients known to play key roles in energy production, mental function, stress reduction, and healthy aging. Well, Ageless Extra has the antioxidant power of more than 10 servings of fruits and vegetables. It's a great tasting formula that comes in concentrate or in ready-to-drink bottles. Ageless Extra helps to support immunity and vitality, helps reduce the inflammation associated with aging, and helps enhance memory, mental clarity, and focus. Ageless Extra also helps to increase mobility and joint flexibility. Call today 1-877-605-9200 and try Ageless Extra with a 90-day money-back guarantee. That's 877-605-9200. You'll find a link to our website at rbnlive.com. Operated by Independent Oasis Associates.
Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
All right, folks, we'll kick off this edition of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller. We have with us Ed Waller and John Ainsworth. Hi, howdy, fellas. How are you doing?
Howdy, John.
Which one are you?
This is Ed.
Okay, Ed. John?
Hey, John is John.
Okay, good. You're both clear as a bell. I'm glad. You're both calling in from different locations. Where you all live at down there?
Well, I live in L.A., Lower Asheville, over in the mountains.
Okay, I've been there.
And I'm in Charlotte.
Haven't been there.
The big town of Charlotte,
I've been through there, but I can't say that I've really been there.
Good place to go through.
But not live there. I went down in Asheville. They have the castle down there.
The Biltmore Estate.
Yeah, the Biltmore Estate. Yeah, yeah. And the fine folks down there, the curators of that place, were just bending over backwards to tell me that they weren't involved in the New World Order. It was extraordinary. For an hour, these guys are trying to convince me, oh, no, they weren't involved in the New World Order. And I said, that's very strange.
All you have to do is look at who Biltmore's son, you know, who he married and everything, and it flows right through.
Yeah, and of course, anybody that's trying to do damage control, if they spend an entire hour with you trying to convince you that they're not what they seem to be, chances are that they are. This is I've had you two fellows on this program before. As a matter of fact, you guys were in studio here in Round Rock, Texas.
Drove all the way out to Texas.
And you had an opportunity to meet with Desi Andrews and some of the folks down here in Central Texas.
Yes, I did.
Now, you guys are researchers, and what is your particular, I don't want to say bent, but what's your particular specialty?
Why don't you go first, John?
Well, my specialty is the reconstruction and this the new relationship between the states and the federal government as a result of the Civil War. It wasn't an object, but and how that turned over into the lies of Congress and how they put this over on the American people. And I lay this squarely as the problem in America today. You know, we've got a lot of people knowing there's something wrong, and we're looking in all sorts of different places, and I think this is the spot.
Well, and, geez, Reconstruction. Have you fellows ever seen the original 13th Amendment to the Constitution?
Yes.
You're talking about the one that came out in 1819?
No. I'm talking about the one prior to the Civil War. After the Civil War, it seemed that they lost the original 13th Amendment that precluded lawyers from holding public office.
Right.
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Virginia was the last to ratify somewhere around 1819.
Yeah. And that, as we look at Washington, D.C. now, I don't know. You can probably count on two hands who aren't lawyers up on the Hill. And it's that way in state houses also. Now, these are the very people that are supposed to be in there upholding the Constitution, and these are the very people that are designing bills and going with treaties and whatever else that are contradictory to what the founders intended for this country, a free market, a more or less laissez-faire type of government, very little governmental control or intrusion, but that's not what we have now. If you're not approved, if you're not United States Department of whatever approved, well, you're just not in the in crowd, and you're not plugged into that matrix, and you're a non-entity.
Well, see, that's where John and I tend to be fairly complementary. His knowledge of that period leading up to 1861, up through well after the 1900 period, is just amazing. He can recite from rote everything you ever wanted to know. What I tend to concentrate, and this is Ed speaking, is what's the result of that? What has been built on top of this fraudulent or certainly changed governmental platform? And that's where you get into the states of emergency, you get into the banking changes, you get into what passes as law now. And it's just fascinating to see what happened, because once you got away from law and we got into states of emergency, all the dominoes fell and we ended up here today where we don't have constitutional law, we don't have the rule of law, we don't have real money as the Constitution says we should. And I think people are starting to figure out that they've been had.
And to go on top of what John was just saying, the Bar Association, the lawyers and the judges have kind of joined in and become parties, and they have created confusion out of order. I mean, we originally had law that was well understood. We had a constitution that was written in simple terms that everyone could understand.
It was written at fifth, sixth grade level.
Right. And so but we've had these lawyers in the last 150 years, 200 years, just create confusion out of order to where people cannot understand the law. And how can you obey a law when you don't know how it's going to be interpreted? We live in absolute chaos today that we call, and the Bar Association and the politicians, which are mostly lawyers, like you said, want to tell us, is order.
Well, and the thing that fascinates me, and even there's honor among thieves. There used to be a code even among thieves that there would be things that they would do, and there would be things that they wouldn't do. And it has gotten so bad that even entering into their matrix, if you're sharp enough to use their own law against them, what the judges will do. I mean, we've seen it happen in jury trials. We've seen it when the judge is adjudicating from the bench, or however you want to say that, ruling from the bench. You're not allowed to enter evidence. I mean, you can look at the original Supreme Court justices that were in this country, and they, without any question whatsoever, said that, well, the jury should be the final say, not some judge in sentencing guidelines or this, that, and the other, or him controlling a trial or a legal proceeding, that the power was to be in the hands of the jury, not only to decide the guilt or innocence of the person charged, the defendant, but also judge the validity of the law itself.
But see, John, what you're dealing with is what I just talked about. It's almost a insane conclusion to the problem of not having law. In one instance in particular, the Clearfield Doctrine. Most people have never heard of the Clearfield Doctrine, nor would they want to. But it was a case out of the 1930s, and it happened to deal with some of these make-work projects during the Depression. And some man had received a check for $30-some from the government that never made it to him. And later he went to court because they found out who had hijacked the check, the government was actually held responsible because they found out the check didn't get to him and they didn't tell him. Well, the upstart of all this was that the Supreme Court ruled that when a government, i.e. our federal government, deals with commercial paper instead of real money, they lose their sovereign characteristic and they become nothing more than a corporation. Well, think about it. Back then, there was still lawful money, but if they used a commercial instrument such as a check, they became non-sovereign. Well, now, every court, every government employee, the whole thing is based on commercial paper, and in essence, the entire government has lost its sovereignty. As of early 2005, legal scholars are still trying to figure out what it means. This case was in the 30s. They're still trying to figure out what it means to deal with loss of money, loss of real species of payment, and therefore how you deal with a government that's no longer sovereign.
And I would step on top of that and say that the government became sovereign once you started using usurpation, usurping rights and creating agencies.
You mean the government being sovereign unto itself?
Well, it's sovereign, as sovereign as a thief could be, you know, because, you know, a thief can be sovereign just like what Pablo Escobar. He can be sovereign as long as he can maintain it outside of the law. The issue is we've got a government that is there supposedly to guarantee and secure the rights of the people, and they swear an oath to the Constitution. And their foundation, the foundation of the government we have today, is the overthrow of the states, the conquering of their people, and the creation of this entity out there that runs roughshod over the people.
Well, and it is doing exactly that. And what I would like to do, we got to take a break here in a couple of minutes. What I'd like to do is to backtrack what we've been talking about a little bit here, so we make a clear and definitive statement to our listeners as to how the government was flipped, and we can talk a little bit about Reconstruction if you care to, and become the money situation and then the income tax, the government making treaties that right now that are, well, they are going to break the back of America and its sovereignty, wipe out the borders, and basically prime us for the globalization of much of what we've seen go on in the European Union right now. And nobody, and this surprises and shocks me, gentlemen, that nobody is talking about the free trade era of America. Everybody is bellicose and just yelling at the top of their lungs about the New World Order, but yet we've got the New World Order getting ready to plant its ugly feet right on our own soil and dig in and not let go. But nobody wants to seem to talk about that. They want to talk about other side issues. Are they afraid of the elephant that's plopped in their easy chair and is helping them drink their six-pack of beer? Or what's the deal? We'll examine these issues with our guests today. Ed Waller and John Ainsworth will continue this And we'll take your phone calls next hour on the National Intel Report. We'll take a short break and be right back with my guest.
For over a year and a half, I have lived with a foot disorder called carpal tunnel syndrome. My feet became numb with severe aching in my ankles. Additionally, my calves ache. I would have severe shooting pains in my feet, especially at night. While trying to sleep, I would literally cry from the pain that my feet were going through. My podiatrist suggested several different treatments, but could not assure me of any relief. My son told me about Cocoon DH. He assured me that the Cocoon products did what they claimed they would do, and after just 2 weeks using Cocoon GH Extra Strength, my calves and the shooting pains in my feet started to go away. But best of all, I have the feeling back in the heel half of my feet. This GH has literally saved my life. I now get up each morning and hit the floor running. Additionally, my blood pressure is now 120 over 80, the lowest it's been in 30 years.
Satisfaction guaranteed. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. 888-988-3325.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
With all the junk food, fast food, and pre-cooked meals out there, do people actually consume the nutrients that will improve their health? Everyone starts with good intentions. A few pills here, a glass of juice there, but what about an entirely new approach to wellness? What about a brand new market of nutrient delivery? Triathletes and marathon runners often down small packets of gel, providing a timely blast of energy. And why couldn't this exact system work for daily consumption of vitamins and minerals? It can. Through suspension gel technology, our daily nutrients can be taken anywhere, quickly and easily. Think about it. No glasses, no supersized pills, no waterlogged juices, no ineffective sprays and creams, just pure, concentrated nutrients in an easy-to-take, rapidly absorbed, taste-bud-busting gel. You squeeze in your mouth, a great way to get your daily nutrients. For more information to improve your health, call 1-888-841-6055. That's 1-888-841-6055. Or go on the web at together.ws.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Yes, the great President Abraham Lincoln took us through the Civil War, and we call it down here the aggression of the war of aggression on the southern states. And the history rewriters are telling us that, well, the South was based in hate. The South was based in slave ownership and their propensity to want to hang on to that. The South was everything except what they tell you that it really was. And it was about states' rights. Yeah, the slavery issue was one issue, but it was overshadowed by and large by the self-determination and sovereignty of each individual nation, if you will, state within the United States. And it's fascinating to see them, to try to see them rewrite history right before our very eyes. And then they're doing a pretty good job because they have a lot of people convinced that the Southern Confederate battle flag, folks, was a symbol of hate. No, it was a symbol of freedom. It was truly a symbol of freedom. And, of course, under Abe Lincoln's watch, we, of course, had the Civil War, and we had the Union Army prevail, and we had centralized government. But that was a process. That was the war in order to conquer. And then we had the Reconstruction. And I want to pick it up from there, gentlemen. The Reconstruction, what was this country like before the civil, so-called Civil War?
Well, prior to this war that we're talking about, the federal government had zero authority within the borders of any state on its own, on the population of that state, on the state's citizens. It could only regulate the interstate commerce and coin money and post offices and, you know, Article 1, Section 10 issues, Article 1, Section 8 issues. And after the war, we see that the entire character and the relationship between the states and the federal government is flipped over, where the federal government has what appears to be a limited amount of control in the states to what we see now, 140 years later, as unlimited control. And the issue is, did they have that control at the very beginning when they passed the laws? And they just couldn't exercise them now or then at the risk of being having another uprising. And I'm here to say that with the passage of the 14th Amendment, the Reconstruction Act and the 14th Amendment, we must understand, are the same thing. The sole purpose of the Reconstruction Act was to pass the 14th Amendment. Just to back that up, the first Reconstruction Act in its body stated that these states were reduced to territorial conditions, and the only way they could come back into the Union or have representation in Congress was to pass, one of the conditions was to pass the 14th Amendment. So we see that the 14th Amendment is a coerced amendment. It's the only, I take that back. It's the most easily recognized coerced amendment that we have. I want to take one step backwards on the slavery issue, and I don't want to spend much time on that, but you'll know that one state entered the American Union during the Civil War, and it entered in 1863, and that was West Virginia. The western counties of Virginia entered the American Union in 1863 as a slave state. So the only state the federal government admitted into the Union during the war was a slave state, not even a free state. So you start seeing all sorts of hypocrisies and things, and it was also admitted in excess of a year after or in the same year as the Emancipation Proclamation. So there's all sorts of issues there that are easy to unveil concerning the slavery issues, but that's how they get us, is we cannot look at the truth. We cannot look at the truth of this time period and see what the federal government really did, because they have so convincingly put it into the minds of all Americans, because they control the public education system. And that the war was about slavery, and if you go back there, and if you think the Confederacy was fighting for states' rights, or the federal government wasn't some benign grandfatherly figure, just a humanitarian wanting to go down to these hate-filled southern states and rid their populations of this of human bondage. If you try to trample upon that concept, people will fight you tooth and nail, saying you're wrong, and they won't even listen to you. And so the mind, for lack of a better term, the mind control of the American people, convinced that we cannot look at this time frame in any other purpose or object than it was about freeing slaves, they've got us. And so we've got to get the truth out there that this time frame was about the federal overthrow of all states' rights. I do talks on this quite a bit, and I ask people, who won the Civil War? And most people say the North did. And I said, no, you're wrong. The North did not win the war. Well, so who did win the war? The federal government won the war. The North, all the northern states, all the southern states lost. If the North can put out, or if the federal government can put out the principle that it has authority to wage war on states, to conquer states, to subjugate their people, if it can do it to a southern state, well, since we have all equal states, it's doing it to northern states also. We live in a union of equal states.
We'll take the break here, come back on the other side. Ed Waller, John Ainsworth are my guests today. And, you can start calling in with your questions. We'll get you on the board, and we'll slip you in as time allows. 800-313-9443. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN network.
The Berkeylight's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeylight, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeylight is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeylight, the transparent water filter, for only $259 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438.
Stay connected to what's happening at the Republic Broadcasting Network by visiting our website,
www.rbnlive.com.
At rbnlive.com, you'll stay up to date with our latest broadcast schedule, learn about upcoming events, read about our air personalities and the programs they host, take part in discussion forums, read the latest breaking news, and listen to RBN programs on your computer by connecting to our live broadcast stream. Plus, you can download previous RBN programs from the archive completely free of charge. That's right. Unlike other services, there is no charge to download programs from the RBN archive. Share them freely with others who are not yet listeners to the Republic Broadcasting Network and help spread the word. We're taking America back through the power of information. Stay connected to the Republic Broadcasting Network and our website, rbnlive.com.
Tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
Citizenship and status define privilege of second or third or whatever status of citizenship one selects for oneself, as opposed to freeholder with full sovereign rights. Apportionment of representatives who is prohibited from holding office, public debt, so on and so forth. Caution, there is serious doubt as to the legality of this amendment because of the manner of ratification, which is highly suspect. At least 10 states were held by force of arms until the proper authorities agreed to vote on this amendment. An excellent overview of this was written by Utah Supreme Court 439 Pacific Reporter, the second series, page 266 to 276, if you want to look that up. And, of course, the 15th Amendment was non-freeholders given the right to vote, took effect on March 30th of 1870. And I guess what you could say was the start of democracy in this country at that point in time, because the idea of people that had a stake, these were electors. They weren't called voters, folks. I mean, voters has taken on a whole different term, but it was that the people that had property, these are the people that determined what happened. And once you opened it up to people that did not hold any property, You know, property is a cornerstone and a key to this country, the Constitution, because it was based on property and property rights and sovereignty, and there was things that were absolutely taboo that you could not even think about doing, let alone doing. But that all went by the wayside after the Reconstruction. And I want to pick up on that and then move forward, and we will take your calls. Come on, folks. If you've got any questions here, don't be shy. No question is too small, or if you think it's too dumb, no, it's not dumb, because I guarantee if you don't know the answer to the question, there's probably a whole slew of other people that do not either. So don't be shy about it. 800-313-9443, call in with your questions. Gentlemen, let's continue from where we left off prior to the break.
Well, the status of the people is an issue that we're dealing with here. Going on the coattails of what you were just saying, here in North Carolina, you were required to be a property owner, a freeholder, in order to vote. The Constitution, one of the things that the federal government did with Reconstruction is they annulled the original Constitution of North Carolina. It was not done by the consent of the people. It was done by force of arms under military duress, under military occupation. And another interesting note that everyone must grasp is that the object of the Civil War, the object of that war that Lincoln started, passed in Congress that it was not for any purpose of conquest or subjugation or to overthrow or interfere with the rights or established institutions of the states, but it was to preserve the Union with all the dignity, equality, and rights of the several states unimpaired. Now, that's the official object of the war, which is what all the Northern soldiers fought the war for. Well, 2 years after the war was over, and the federal government had already won this war, Congress, through Thaddeus Stevens and Charles Sumner, changed the object of the war. And they said the war was for conquest, and it was going to interfere with the rights of the state, and that it was to subjugate the people of the states.
I have to ask you a question at this point in time. Did Abe Lincoln know what he was involved in? Did he know what the eventual end, if he did not have full knowledge and full participation in the subjugation of the southern states and the centralization of power at the federal conclave, what was the deal with Abe?
Well, it'd be speculation on my part. I mean, obviously, the Republican Party was started, what, in 1854, and they had the White House in 1860. There was something going on there, and Abe Lincoln was a dark horse candidate. He came out of nowhere and just took the national spotlight by storm and became president. I mean, all these are just historical facts. Now, how he was tied in, I mean, there's deals that he, or there's speculation that he had ties with the European bankers. There's speculation that there were communications with him and Karl Marx in that time period. It'd be speculation on my part. I think it's much easier just to deal with what I can easily see and what is undeniable and what everyone admits. And that is, this is what did happen. Abraham Lincoln did violate the law. Abraham Lincoln was about concentrating the power in Washington. Would it have gone to in the same direction if he had lived? I don't know, because the 39th Congress, the Radical Republicans, got vicious, and they treated our own people, the southern people of the United States of America, worse than we have ever treated any defeated foe, even the Japanese and even the Germans of World War I and World War II. We treated our own people much more viciously and vilely than we ever have a foreign foe. And these are just historical facts. And I don't know. I mean, I actually had a conversation with a judge in talking about this. This was in a courtroom when I was in a court case over the Radical Republicans and could Andrew Johnson have done any better than Abraham Lincoln. And it does appear that Congress got more rabid than Abraham Lincoln was. They got a lot more vicious. And there is indications that Abraham Lincoln was getting remorseful near the end, that he was figuring out that he got into something much larger than what he thought, and that it was bothering him. Now, I have a hard time sometimes looking at that man and thinking he had a conscience, you know, to wage war on your own people and kill that many people.
Well, you know, the analogy I used there was talking about Saddam Hussein in Iraq, where supposedly he had his political enemies and he dispatched them. And I said, well, folks, take a look at what happened in our own country. We had a federal government basically declare war on itself and subjugate the people. I said, so what's the difference? But, of course, giving an analogy between Saddam Hussein and Abe Lincoln during that time or shortly afterwards for the Reconstruction, I mean, people just don't get it. You know, to eliminate your political enemies, you know, I mean, we did it here.
Yeah, but how many assassination attempts were there on that one night, John, when Lincoln was assassinated?
Oh, well, I mean, there was, Secretary of War, Secretary of State, there was, four that I can think of assassination attempts?
Yeah, so, you know, once again, the lone gunman theory just doesn't hold water because there were five or six attempts all on one night, highly orchestrated.
Any conjecture as to who these people were?
Well, I mean, it was Surratt's. There's a lot of people saying that there was these people were just stooges, and that again.
Well, that's in my book. That's a conspiracy. That's a conspiracy to topple the hierarchy of the federal government.
Right. That's a fact. That would be factual to state that. But you have to look at the time frame here. Lincoln was assassinated a week after, or maybe a week and a half after, Lee surrendered. I mean, the war was really over. I mean, so when you put that in perspective, and basically, you know, what could have been gained at that time frame? I mean, the military was out. I mean, this was people, for whatever passion they had, or organizations with whatever passions they had, trying a last-ditch effort to do something. And it may have been just to create more vengeance, more hate towards the South. Look at what these people are doing. They're trying to kill our president and overthrow our government even at the last second. You know, it could have been used to help get the passions of the people to such a degree that they would accept Reconstruction and accept what Congress eventually did.
And there were too many people involved in Reconstruction to think that it was just some small conspiracy either. I mean, there were a couple leaders, obviously,
right.
Thaddeus Stevens and stuff, but it was pretty well orchestrated.
Yeah, there was a problem. I mean, at the end of the war, they were trying to figure out what to do with these southern states because they'd already promised that once the war was over, these states were going to be restored to an unimpaired condition with all their rights restored. That's what the war was fought over, to preserve the Union, that their ordinances of secession were null and void, that no state had a right to leave the Union, that this was a perpetual Union. Even though we had seceded from government twice before in the history of this country, we seceded from the Crown, because all secession means is to change, to leave one form of government and start another. And we seceded under the Articles of Confederation. And the Articles of Confederation is the document that said that this Union shall be perpetual under the Articles of Confederation. And we saw that that wasn't working well, so we seceded from that form of government. Remember, it only took 9 to leave, which left left 4 out. And North Carolina was one of them. And North Carolina was a foreign nation. In between the Articles of Confederation and the Constitution of the United States of America, because we were the next to the last state to enter the new Union under the Constitution. So secession and changing your form of government and some states leaving a union and other states forming another union was part of our history under the Articles of Confederation. And secession was talked about in the War of 1812 and at various other times in our history. And never with a concept that, well, if you attempt to do that, the federal government will come in and force you at the end of a bayonet to have a free government of the choice of the people. I mean, it's again, it's hypocrisy. How do you force people into a free government? not of their consent, and then call it a free government. I mean, what the Soviets did, the old Soviet Union with Poland and Czechoslovakia and Uzbekistan and Georgia and the Balkan states, is the exact same concept that Abraham Lincoln was fighting for. Hey, we will force you into this union. It's perpetual. It doesn't matter what we say, whether it's Washington or Moscow, depending on which analogy you want to take. What we say goes. And here in America, we say, okay, we have a government not of the consent of the people, yet in our Constitution, the Constitution of North Carolina, it says all government of right is founded upon the will of the people, their will only.
But when you bring this up to the government, and probably the best example, is we're supposed to have redress of grievances. I mean, that's what a free people in a free country get to do, to call on their government when their government goes awry. And we have seen numerous attempts. So probably the best example is We the People organization, Bob Schultz, going after the income tax. And rather than these people, and this is what I said about that. I said rather than the IRS banding its people together, putting on a strong front and coming out to the public and saying, you know, all this tomfoolery about the 16th Amendment not being properly ratified or being an unconstitutional or illegal tax, that's all balderdash, and here's our position, and this is why it's illegal. They could have had a perfect opportunity to prove the validity of what they're doing versus all the naysayers and all the people that are dropping off the federal income tax rolls. And I got to tell you, the momentum is picking up. Once this boulder was shoved down the hill, it's just picking up speed. And more people every year are taking a look at the 16th Amendment and saying, you know what, I'm not paying that tax.
And well, I said the 16th changed nothing. There's a Supreme Court case to that effect. What the reason they couldn't come out and debate the issue openly, John, is because there is no income tax. The tax law itself imposes no income tax on the citizens of the states of this country. So they could not have an honest discourse on this issue because they would have had to admit that they were lying. And if anyone has done a good job with this, there's a guy by the name of Pete Hendrickson, a book called Cracking the Code. The IRS has tried now three times to take him to court to get him to stop selling this book. And finally, the Department of Justice told the IRS they will not represent them in this case anymore because the guy's telling the truth.
But see, the American people don't have the luxury of hearing this. You're not going to see this man interviewed on some public broadcasting network station or on Bill O'Reilly or Sean Hannity or whatever the case may be.
No, instead they're going to go prosecute Larkin Rose, who, you know, may have a slightly weaker position.
On the 861 argument?
On the 861.
Yeah.
And then hold them up for all to see to say, see what happens when you dare challenge the IRS?
Well, I've got to say one thing for Bob Schultz. And I told Bob this to his face when we were in Fort Worth, Texas, over the Dixon Cannon Trial. I'm sure you guys are familiar with that one.
Oh, yeah.
And I had this lawyer convinced that the only salvation for your client, my friend Dixon Cannon, is to go in there and unload as much evidence as you can possibly unload and get that jury, to have that jury come as close to a fully informed jury as you can possibly get. Now, I said, you might get heat from that judge up there. He might try every trick in the book to get you to shut up. I said, but the jury is still going to see that. What Mr. Schultz did was he convinced Sim Cannon's attorney. He says, well, just do it on the thing that, he was doing this on good faith based on the information he had at the time. And I looked at that situation. I mean, I went toe-to-toe with Schultz on this deal. I mean, I got a little hot under the collar. He and I had a private little breakfast, and I got up and walked away from the table. It was either that or I was going to probably do something that I probably would have later regretted.
Well,
but I understood that was the wrong tack to take.
Yeah, Bob's a good friend of mine. He spent the night at my house here.
He's a good man.
We have disagreements about what he's doing. To me, he's going after the wrong issue. You know, there are so many more powerful issues given the history of what we've learned, you know, what guys like John here on the call has gone out and can prove. I mean, when you have a surrender letter of the governor of North Carolina, July 1st, 1868, 3 years, let's say, after the war had ended, in a time of peace due to military occupation, it doesn't take rocket scientists to realize that something very wrong has gone on there.
There's only two views you can have of the government. You can have the view that the government is legitimate, and we've got to figure out how to exercise our rights in all the confusion they create with their confusing legislation and their judicial activist courts, or the government is illegitimate and that all government of right originates from the people and it's the people's duty to do something.
But you forgot a third group of people, people that look at the government and say, well, you know, there's a few things wrong and we just need to tweak a little bit to make it right. But these are the people that do not know what form of government we're supposed to have.
Right.
And more times often than not, they end up bollocksing the works up worse than it would be than picking one or the other, one from column A, one from column B. Gentlemen, we've got a break. We'll be back in a few minutes with your calls. 800-313-9443.
Republic Trading, a division of Republic Broadcasting Network, has a simple mission. Take the guesswork out of buying gold. With 20 years of experience in the gold business, I can tell you the best-kept secret is European gold. Republic Trading has a limited amount of pre-1900 French Angel 20-franc gold coins on offer at only a fraction over its gold content value. These almost one-fifth ounce gold coins are available for immediate delivery, $95 each. Call today, 1-800-691-7898.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
Available from the Republic Broadcasting Network. Broadcasting Network. Broadcasting.
Now you have the time to review every spoken word
on any RBN program
by ordering CDs of any broadcast in either standard audio or MP3 format. Audio CDs are just $10 per hour.
$15 for 2 hours.
And $7 when you order 3 or more hours. An entire month of your favorite broadcaster in MP3 format for just $20. So order right, Republic Broadcasting. 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. That address again is Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or for more information, call 1-800-724-2719.
And on the web at rbnlive.com.
Order your CDs today because you can handle the truth.
Looking for a quality shortwave radio without spending hundreds of dollars? The Sanjian 505P shortwave radio is the answer. Featuring continuous tuning for all shortwave frequencies utilizing direct keypad tuning. Dual conversion improves shortwave image for better shortwave reception. Single sideband allows for reception of upper and lower sideband signals. Other features include 45 station memory, auto preset system, auto memory scan, tone controls, dual time display, and adjustable sleep timers. Included accessories, the ANT60 portable shortwave antenna, AC adapter, stereo earbuds, and a soft-sided carrying case. Also, a 1-year full factory warranty on parts and labor. All this for only $139. Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Call today.
We're back. Let's go to the phones. Dave in Arkansas. Hello, Dave.
Hello there, John and John Ainsworth.
Hello.
And don't forget Ed Waller.
And Ed Waller.
Hi-yo.
Hey, John, you remember me from several years ago trying to restore the Arkansas Republic?
I absolutely do. What happened to you? You fell off the face of the earth.
Well, I lost track of you, John. I didn't know how to contact you anymore. And as far as the matter here, it just kind of died due to lack of interest.
I understand that.
Based in what? Ignorance and not being able to have people look at your information?
Not even wanting to take the time to look, really.
Well, they will once martial law is officially declared in this country, and it's coming down the street in the form of jackbooted thugs. They might care then, but by then it's going to be too late.
Probably too late, yeah.
Well, I mean, we are actually living in the form of law that one would have once you get into a declared emergency state. The judges are administering the bankruptcy, if you want to take that point of view. They're doing the best to simply preserve the peace through fiat. And what else would one expect given the true, now current situation in this country?
Well, we're living under actually a provisional military government anyway.
Absolutely.
Right. That's
it's
what
an occupying government.
Absolutely. So we live on and behind the lines of occupied territory now.
But my position is, okay, if we don't have lawful government, if we have an occupying military force here, which is operating off the principle of conquest, where does the remedy lie? All government of right originates from the people. All political power is vested in the people alone. The reason we don't have lawful government in the United States, in the several states, is people will not exercise their right to establish or reestablish lawful government.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're about. I mean, it's so clear that the original North Carolina Constitution was put aside by the federal government without authority.
Well, you ought to read the so-called, it's Article 1 Bill of Rights of the Arkansas Constitution of 1868. And if that isn't plain and simple enough, nothing is. But we're talking about remedy, and here in Black's Law 7th edition, I found a definition that had not been in any previous edition of Black's Law. Right of revolution. Here it is defined. The inherent right of a people to cast out their rulers, change their polity, or effect radical reforms in their system of government or institutions by force or general uprising, when the legal and constitutional methods of making such changes have proved inadequate or are so obstructed as to be unavailable. That's pretty plain.
Well, and that's plain, and also there's a universally recognized reciprocal relationship between a government and a people.
That's exactly right.
And the universally recognized reciprocal relationship is protection and allegiance. And the original North Carolina Constitution of 1776, the opening sentence says, whereas allegiance and protection are in their nature reciprocal, the one of right should be refused when the other is withdrawn.
We're going to break. Just hold on a second here, Dave. I want to make sure that people know that the second hour can be heard on the International Shortwave. That's 7465. And is there a web page or anything that you guys have?
No.
Okay, no web pages?
No, I have no web page.
Oh, well,
you, Dave.
Oh, John does.
Okay, yeah, NC Republic, www.ncrepublic.org.
ncrepublic.org?
Yes.
Okay, and contact numbers on there?
Email. You can email me at tigerja@bellsouth.net.
All right. We'll take the break here. Hang on a second, Dave. Phil, Doug, Bill, and others, hang on. We'll get to your calls right after the top of the hour break. Hour two coming up.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making
lacking bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.